Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15 this morning. I don't know if you recognize this or not, but if you go to your lexicon or your dictionary or something of that nature, and you look up forgetting, you'll find that that's a major word in the scripture. Over and over and over again, it seems like there's a theme that God must instruct his people about, and that is don't forget my mercies and my grace. Why do you think he instructs us over and over and over again? Because we do. We get all caught up into something. We get all hot and bothered about something. And I know about being hot and bothered. I have a temper just like that. And anyway, we forget his mercies. There's nothing in this world that can compare to the mercies and grace of God. Nothing. And we always need to remember that. I want to draw your attention to verse 15 in Isaiah 49 because he says, can a woman forget her suckling child? You would think the answer is no, right? But it's not. That she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. And I've seen that, unfortunately. Then the Lord says, yet will I not forget thee. A mother's love for a child is just about the strongest thing in all the world that we can use for an example. Yet there are mothers who abandon their children. There are mothers who do all kinds of terrible, horrible things to their children. And God says, look, I'll never forget you. Father, be with us this morning as we look at your word. Help us to recognize your sovereignty and your grace. We would see Jesus here this morning. And we ask, Father God, that you would touch lives. We would ask, Lord, that you would bless those who are in authority over us. We'd ask you to protect and be with the president, our president. Be with the Congress and the Senate. Lord, give them instructions. Draw them to your mercy seat and nail their heads to that pole of wisdom. Be with us, Lord, in this state, Indiana. Be with our governor and the decisions that they have to make as well. Difficult things and difficult times. But yet, even in these times, you are God indeed. And help us to recognize that in all things. Lord, I know there are those that are really struggling this morning. Pray for them. Lord, not an empty thought, but a powerful thought that you might lift them up. Help them to turn their eyes on you. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name, amen. We may not realize it, but there are key things that happen in the world. There are key historical things that happen in the world, and they reach out and they touch our lives. They impact our lives. And we might not recognize initially what those impacts might be or how they might be affecting us, but they usually do in some way, shape, fashion, or form, and the ripples go on, and we see how that works over time. If I said December 7, 1941, you would say what? Pearl Harbor. And if I said a day that will live in me, Mr. Roosevelt used that. Isn't it funny that on Sunday, December 7th, 1941, the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. And on Monday, the Congress of the United States was able to come together and vote to go to war. We'd be still talking about it a year later. But it was a day that changed millions and millions of lives, millions and millions of households. How about November 22nd, 1963? What was it, Jim? Kennedy's assassination. Man, you're right on. All right. Do you know where you were at, Jim, when that took place? Oh, my goodness. I didn't realize I was that old. I wasn't too. I think I was a sophomore in high school. I was in Havre, Montana, and they called us all in the assembly hall, and they seated everybody in there. He said, now, be quiet. This is something very, very serious, and the principal told us that President Kennedy had been assassinated, and he wanted us to take a few minutes. And, oh, my goodness, he led us in prayer. And then he said at the close, I want everybody to get up very quietly, very orderly. The buses are out front if you ride a bus. If you're a walker, walk home and go straight home. And I did. October 4th, 1957. I wouldn't know what it is either. That's the day the Soviets launched Sputnik into space. And I remember that particularly because my mother was sitting at the kitchen table when I came in and she was listening to the radio. And, you know, I'm not a psychic or anything like that, but she was in distress. She was in despair. There were some tears coming down her cheek. And I said, Mom, what's wrong? What's happened? And she responded with, the Russians have launched a probe into space. And I thought to myself, so what? You know, it didn't seem to matter a whole lot to me at that time. But she was concerned about that because I think she had a little bit bigger picture about what was happening in the relationship of the United States and Russia. It was a race, you know, to be the greatest superpower. And Sputnik was something about that big, about like a basketball, that they launched into space. And I'm sure that many people changed their mind and hearts on what we should be doing as a country because of that. How about July 20th, 1969? There it was. I happened to be standing in the parking lot in Montgomery, Alabama. And it was a beautiful day, night. And I was looking up at the moon. And I was... Yeah, well, I haven't got that far. I was waiting on my wife to get off from work. And I thought this thought. Somebody's up there walking around on the moon. Because they were telling all that stuff on the radio. And, of course, it was Neil Armstrong, Mike Collins. We don't really remember here very much. Buzz Aldrin. Of course, Neil Armstrong was the man, the first man who put a footprint on the moon. COVID-19 was initially reported by the World Health Organization in December 31, 2019. On January 30th, 2020, the World Health Organization declared the outbreak as a global emergency. On March 11, 2020, the World Health Organization declared COVID-19 a global pandemic. That was the first pandemic we'd had since H1N1 in 2009. And of course, as Grayson pointed out, September 11, 2001, which was just a little while back, Al-Qaeda terrorists crashed American Airlines number 11 and United Flight 175, crashed those two flights into the Twin Towers in New York City. And we were told that was 19 years ago. They were playing those tapes again the other day. A third plane, of course, American Airlines 77, crashed into the Pentagon. And then there was actually a fourth, wasn't there? United 93, which initially was headed to Washington, D.C. I don't know what their target might have been, but you know, I suspect that the Capitol building was probably it. But they had to turn that thing around. And of course, there was already people on that plane who were getting information off their phones that something was amiss, and they decided not to let the terrorists just have their way, and they tried to overtake the plane again, and they crashed in Pennsylvania. And of course, out of that was 2,996 people killed, and they were reading those names the other day again. All of these events certainly impacted the world. All of these events impacted real people. I think about those firemen and those policemen who went into those towers, and I think to myself, my goodness, what utter devotion and sense of courage to do so. Unbelievable. They went up there. And so there was lives, real people. There are people still grieving today, real lives. And we asked ourselves, is there nothing in this world that we can be assured of? Because it seems like that one day it's this and one day it's that and another thing here, it's another thing there. Is there nothing that is constant? The world seems to be being swallowed up in darkness, doesn't it? And so I asked the question this morning, have we forgotten? Pick whatever. Our present circumstances can make us feel overwhelmed, I'm sure, at times. And of course, when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, it quickly overpowered almost all of Asia. It seemed like they were unstoppable. And of course, Hitler had been on the march in Europe. But you know, the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. We declared war on the Japanese because we understood that the attack on Pearl Harbor was a declaration of war on us, whether they made it formally or informally. But you know, we didn't declare war against Germany. We didn't do that. Who declared war? Hitler declared war on us. When President Kennedy was assassinated, I think all America was in shock. Sputnik, scared my mother. It didn't seem like a whole lot of things to me, but obviously the space race was very real. This COVID-19 pandemic has all but stopped us as a culture. I don't know many of the things that we've been instructed by the experts that were supposed to be good for us or to do this or to do that. I'm not sure that somebody said an expert is a guy who's out of town with a briefcase. I think that's maybe the case. But there are millions of people that this has affected all over the world. And there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people right here in America that I wouldn't venture to say aren't scared to death. And they might have and could lay some of that fear at the feet of our news people. But nevertheless, it is there. And of course, then we, on top of all this stuff, we get the protest. The peaceful protests that have been taking place in various cities across our country. I told you that I happened to be in Louisville, not realizing that there was a young girl who was shot in Louisville. And I'd walking the dog at about 6 or 7 o'clock at night, and they were coming up 3rd Street. My son's apartment is straddling 2nd Street and 3rd Street. And so they were marshaling their forces down by the river, and they were coming up 3rd Street, destroying everything in the street. And of course, being the big, broad thinker I am, I didn't know what was going on. There was people all hanging out the balconies, and I said, hey, what's going on? And they looked at me like I was crazy as a bedbug, and they said, it's the protest. The protest? Protest for what, I thought. So then I walked over to there's a concrete wall, it's a second floor thing, and peeked over the side there, looking out on 3rd Street, and saw the people coming down, bullhorns blaring and carrying on, all kinds of stuff. And then I realized, I don't have a jewelry store that they're going to break into. I don't have a fashion boutique. There were several of those on that street. I don't have any of those kind of things. But my car's parked right there. Boy, they're lucky they didn't come over to that parking lot. All things would have ceased if that would have happened. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I did think about it. So I asked yourselves this morning, what we must do as Christians, what must we do? I think what we need to do is step back from all these things and once again capture the big picture. That God, this is my Father's world, and God is in control. The Lord Jesus said, fear not, I have overcome the world. Well, saving faith in the Lord, and it enables us to have a different point of view. I remember when I first got saved in Korea that, I had a couple of guys that were witnessing to me, and I've told you my testimony before, but I do not want to forget it. So I'm going to bore you with it one more time. Hope I never forget it. Ron Renner and Mike Jester, and they were talking to us, talking to me, talking to my squadron about Jesus. They were the only ones in the whole squadron that were doing anything that was normal. Everybody else, you see, I think if you had money and had the money, you could do anything you wanted to do in Korea. I think you could. If you want to smoke dope, you can smoke dope. If you want to take dope, you can take dope. Whatever it was. It was not beyond your reach if you could pay for it. My barracks was right here. The next building over was the Airman's Club. And we had a little bit of a riot on our base. It was some sort of interracial riot of some kind. And they decided to burn down the Airman's Club right next to my barracks. And I stood there and watched that place burn down. And you know what my thought was? I didn't think anything about, that, hey, that's not a bad place to get something to eat, because I couldn't eat over there anyway. It's too expensive. It was about $3 for dinner. That's way too expensive. I didn't think about that. I didn't think about you could go in there and play the slot machines. You had nickel, dimes, quarter slot machines. I didn't think about that. I didn't think about any of those kind of things. You know what I thought about? I thought about my houseboy had our clothes on the lawn. Was that some of my uniforms laying out there that these sparks were flying up? And isn't that funny how self-centered we are? It never passed a thought through my mind that anybody might be affected, but my uniform might get a hole burned in it. And I didn't want that. But those two guys shared with me how to come to Christ. I got on my knees beside my bed. I took that little four spiritual law track, and I went page by page by page by page. And on the very back, it has a sinner's prayer. It has I, blank, now ask Jesus to forgive me my sins. Had a date, a little place to put the date in. Asked the Lord to come into my heart, to seal me with the Holy Spirit of God until the day of full redemption. Now, I prayed because the Presbyterians wouldn't want me to say that, but I thought of myself as a Presbyterian because we used to go to the Presbyterian church a little bit when I was a kid. And when I got in the Air Force, God has a marvelous sense of humor. He really does, Jim. They asked you, what denomination are you? And here's this kid on the typewriter, I said, I'm a Presbyterian. He said, how do you spell that? P? Baptist, B-A-P. Oh, look at this. And I got up from that spot on my bed, started reading my Bible, started going to the prayer meeting, started going to the Bible study. We had a Bible study prayer meeting every Saturday night, started at 9 o'clock at night. We just went all night if we wanted to. It didn't matter. Because you see, I had nothing else to do. I didn't have a wife. My child wasn't there. There was no responsibilities except going to work. And nobody told you had to go to work on Sunday. And so God changed my heart and my life that day. And he tied a knot in that timeline of my life. Things impact us whether we want to know it, whether we want to acknowledge it, whether we understand it. They impact our lives. And Jesus will impact your life if you let him. And there's one way to do it. That's to confess your sins, ask Christ into your life, and truly, sincerely mean what you say, and presume upon God that what he's saying is true. And God, who cannot lie, keeps his word, even if you don't yours. It's marvelous. It's marvelous. It's wonderful. We need to have a vantage point to see. we had a hill on Osan, Pastor, that was called Hill 180. It was the top of the hill for my barracks. And I don't know. I think every hilltop in Korea had a monument on it. People died there. Every hilltop, somebody stopped and fought for. Every hilltop. So there was a monument on top of that hill. All over Korea like that. Monuments to the dead. Unbelievable. But I got the chance to go to Seoul, to the Rock Ave Academy, because the Korean Air Force chaplain, who was a major, came to our base several times, and he asked us to come up and be with them at revival. It's the Korean Air Force Academy. There's going to be the pilots and the leaders of Korea coming out of that. He said, I want you guys to come up. I want you to help me in this revival. And of course, we all said, oh yeah, that sounds great. Great, great, great. And then he said, hey, you. And he looked over at Mike Jester, and he said, Mike, your name's Mike? He said, Mike, yeah. Are your name Mike too? Yeah. Mike. He said, well, okay, Mike 1, Mike 2. He said, Mike 1, give your testimony. Mike 2, you preach. What? That was the end of that meeting for me. I would just preach. So I tried to get in touch with, after the meeting, he's talking, fellowship. I tried to get over there and get by him and say, hey, sir, I don't know what you're thinking. I would have been saved for a couple of months at the longest. I don't know anything about preaching. I don't know anything about the Bible. I'm trying to learn, but I don't know none of those things. But you know what, how God has things worked out? I never could get close enough to protest. So I went to some of our guys, some of our more mature Christians, and I told them, and they all agreed with me, yes, you're just a rookie, you don't know nothing, that's for sure, but he wants you to preach. Well, okay, but he doesn't know. And they had this weird idea that God knows. Gosh. So I got to preach at that revival the first night, and there was a second lieutenant who translated for me. We had 64 professions of faith that night. 64. Never again have I seen that happen. I know one thing for sure. The second lieutenant Korean had a great sermon. Listen, God scoots us over. He puts us aside. He puts his hand on us. We should not fear. We just need to have the right vantage point. The vantage point of Jesus. The hope and despair will be dispersed if we will just remember who he is and who we are in him. And the Bible makes it clear that God wins in the end. There's a book back here, the back that we always mispronounce. It's not Revelations, it's Revelation. And the book of Revelation says what? We win! That's what it's saying. In a nutshell, in a microscope, God wins, we win, because we have placed our faith. We're victors in Christ Jesus. The grass withers, the flower fades away, but the word of God stands forever. God's word is truth. God's word is authoritative. God's word will stand forever. Governor Holcomb has changed his mind 4 times, I think, since this thing started. The last time we were headed towards September 16 to try to get our choir restarted and all those kind of things. And then he changed his mind again. On July 4th, or was it the third? I can't remember. Saturday was the fourth and Sunday was the fifth. So the day before the fourth, he gets on the thing and says, no, I'm sorry, we can't go phase five. We got to do, what was it, 4.3 or some kind of gift? He changes his mind all the time. God never changes his mind. He doesn't go, oops, excuse me. No, listen, no man ever impacted the world like the Lord and Savior we have. Paul says, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Okay, we might not get it all. We might, you know, when we read the book of Revelation, sometimes we think, what's all that mean? Don't miss the big picture. God wins, and you're a victor. The specifics, not really all that important. Years ago, I heard a sermon by Dr. Tony Campolo entitled, It's Friday, but Sunday's a coming. Anybody ever heard that sermon? Yeah, I probably heard. I played it many times. He was an associate pastor in Philadelphia in a black church. He's not black. I think he's Italian or something. I don't know. I'm not much on racist stuff. He's just Campolo is what that would Italian maybe? I don't know. Sicilian? He ain't German, that's for sure. Anyway, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And he said, you know, his pastor, they were having kind of a series of meetings. And so on Thursday, his pastor said, you can preach, you know, Dr. Campolo. And then on Friday, I'm going to preach. And then somebody else is going to preach on Saturday. And I'm going to preach again on Sunday. So Dr. Campolo said he got up. And he delivered the most marvelous, moving sermon the world has ever heard. He said, but the next day, the senior pastor there got up and said, Tony, you did real good, son. Real good. He said, but now, sit down, buckle your seatbelt, because we're going to go past that, and it's going to be glory. I read a little summary of that one time that said something like this. It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter is straying, and Judas is betraying. Boy, isn't that kind of cool? Darkness, but Sundays are coming. It's Friday. Pilate was judging. The council was fudging. The crowds were shouting, crucify him. The disciples were shocked. Mary is crying. Peter is denying. But listen, they didn't know. Because it's only Friday. But Sunday's a coming. It's Friday. With whips, they tore Jesus' body with sacred robe and crown of thorns. He adorned by him the cross he bore. So dark, so much despair, but they didn't know that Sunday was coming. You see, it's Friday. With whips they tore him, the cross he bore, but they didn't know about Sunday. It's Friday. On the cross, Jesus hangs and he feels every pang. Sin is crushing. His blood is gushing. His life is rushing out. Can no one save him? He who bore our sins, dared to face the grave, no one to save. But it's only Friday. It's only Friday. It's Friday. The earth is trembling. The sky darkens. My king yields his spirit. Death, victory is staring. Sin has prevailed. The saints bewail. Satan laughs and exults. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. At the tomb, the soldiers tarried. The stone rolled. Death has its hold. Even the sun refused to shine. But the friends of the friends of the friends who wept knew only that it was Friday. Friday? What comes after Friday? Saturday and Sunday. Jesus had made mention of that using the analogy of Jonah. He said this, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but no sign shall be given to you except the sign of Jonah. On Sunday, they came, and they found the stone rolled away. Hell was reeling. Satan was squealing. Demons were fleeing, but sin was defeated and death was conquered. Our salvation complete because it's Sunday. What is today? Sunday. Why do we worship on Sunday? Because, you know, the Old Testament says something about remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. The Sabbath day starts on Friday, 6 o'clock, sundown, whatever goes down like that. This is Sunday. Well, I don't know all the theology involved in that. I know just this. God was going to do something new and marvelous and wonderful, and he started out on the first day of the week. God always starts at the first, and God always brings about what he has planned. It may seem to you like it's Friday. The riots are rioting, the people are stomping, the people are yelling, and people are dying, and all this stuff. Congress acts like they don't have a sense, and they pour sand out of their shoe. There are people who lie all the time on television, get up and tell you what a marvelous this and a marvelous that. But listen, 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 it's only Friday! God's not through! And according to the book, Sunday is coming. Have you forgotten, though? Have you forgotten that? Fear not, Jesus said, for I have overcome the world. Heavenly Father, we as your people so many times get caught up in so many avenues. So much information flooding our hearts and our minds. Some of it is true. Most of it is propaganda. And a lot of it is false. But it impacts us. We wonder, how can anybody say such things? And how can anybody do such things? How can a mother abandon her child? How can we, as a people who believe in God and put the Lord Jesus in the very center of our nation, allow millions of children to perish every year at this place downtown or the one over here that's called Planned Parenthood? Oh, that we would put a sign out there that said Murder Incorporated. But it's not done yet. There's more to come. If you tarry, Lord, another day, the end will be the same, and you will win, and we will be victors. Let us see, Lord, with your eyes, what we can do all around us. And the time is fleeting. The time is short. Help us, Father, to be those good and faithful servants. For these things we ask. In the mighty name of Jesus.